Live from the ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM studios, this is the Greg Evan Hooks Show. Call the show 402-466-3776. Your teams, your town, your show. Here are your hosts, Nick Gregeth and Bill Hooks.
All right, let's do this. Happy Victory Monday on a Gregeth and Hooks.
Baby.
I am Nick Gregeth. He is Bill Hooks. We'll be hanging out with you till 11, trying to get you to the noon hour as quickly as possible. The always disappointed and angry Willie J is in the house hanging out with us. I'll explain that in a minute.
Video evidence, baby.
But welcome into the show. Man, it feels good to beat up on Iowa.
That's always a good time.
That's always good, Iowa, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Pulling out an overtime victory and coming back from 16 points like down roughly.
The improbable, buddy, happened at PBA. The magic.
Yeah.
Was it deemed? I know we've talked a lot about 5 years ago, no sit Sunday. This was no quit Sunday.
No quit Sunday.
I've heard a lot of people tweeting that out. No quit Sunday.
Judging from your tweets after the game, I feel like you've not quit on Coach Miles.
Huh?
You seem to be lovey-dovey. You're lovey-dovey.
Like I told you before the show. Like I told you before the show.
Lovey-dovey.
This was a good moment for him. It does not, to me, in my opinion, does not change what should happen in Nebraska for the program. But it's a good send-off for
him. What if he pulls off like a victory or two in the Big Ten tournament?
You're still, I mean, NIT, it still doesn't change,
play,
I don't think.
NIT.
I think it's a probable case now that they're going to NIT.
All of a sudden, Fred Hoiberg is a pipe dream. Willie J is quitting on the world. All of that happens. All right, this is going to be a lot of fun. We have a lot to get to today. Mike Schaefer will be on in hour number two. We've got practices going on, and I guess they're letting the media watch warm-ups, so we're getting all sorts of sweeping comments about all the different players. So we'll update you on that. We might need like a breaking news story sounder. So if you could effort one of those, Willie J, we could use that. Just in case, like if someone tweets something out that's worth reading on air. I think we already heard Sipple tweeted out that Jalen Bradley looks skinny.
He looks skinny.
He slimmed down.
Lean.
That's breaking news. Jalen Bradley, not fat. That's breaking news. Cool.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Will Honus is practicing.
No knee brace.
Wow, look at that. Saying. Seems
no
reckless. Feels reckless. He's 5 months removed from tearing up his knee.
There's video. Go out there and look. There's video of him. No knee brace.
Feels reckless, Honus. So there's that. So we'll get all to that. And got a lot going on. Of course, in the NFL today, teams can start negotiating with players. So you'll start hearing about contracts that'll be in place in principle. And then Wednesday at, I believe, like 3 o'clock Husker time, that's when you could start officially signing people. A lot of players were getting cut over the weekend, some big names that might influence maybe whether players get traded from their current teams or not. And then you also have, of course, the Antonio Brown trade to the Raiders. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes. I think it's a really interesting thing to talk about as well, so we'll get to that. But your reactions, 402-466-3776, 466-ESPN, I'd love to hear your reaction. Nebraska beats Iowa. My goodness, it felt good. I'll tell you this. If you want to know what it's like to be an Iowa fan, this season for Nebraska basketball has been it.
Yep.
Because I could sit back and feel good that we beat down Creighton, got those Hoojays. You beat Iowa, potentially knocking them off the...
maybe a seeding.
Yeah, you might have knocked them down a hair. You're not going to do anything of substance, which is what usually happens to Iowa. But damn it, we beat those teams.
That's it.
So we sit on that, and we're happy.
Yeah, and you send, at the end of the day, the PBA magic, all that good stuff on a Sunday. You send those seniors out right on the way they played their effort for the last 4 years in the program, or three, depending on when you transferred in. You got the cool moment, I thought, with Roby coming out in Copeland's number and jersey. On that moment. And then Miles, God bless him, he's been here 7 years, done a lot, gets to walk off to a standing ovation to the crowd that remains.
So
cool moments, cool moments.
Yep. Here's the deal with Tim Miles, and we'll talk about this when we get there. You know, we'll see next week when he's probably let go. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but you know, Tim Miles getting to leave to the crowd cheering for him, I think, is a good thing. Yep. I think, you know, there was a lot of positive vibes about Doc Sadler when he left that I thought were kind of unwarranted. I didn't think Doc was all that great of a coach while he was here. I think he's a better assistant coach and bench coach, personally.
Yep, for sure.
But there was a lot of, like, you know, people wanted to be positive and that kind of stuff. I think there is a lot to be positive about with Tim Miles and his time here. And I'm happy that he was able to walk out of there with the, like, 12, 13,000 that were there cheering. Yep. I thought that was good.
It was a great showing. I tell you what, when I was sitting there and I was telling people, there is no place in this country with the basketball team, the way it's performed this year and the stuff that's happened, that on a Sunday afternoon, there's no other place at Pinnacle Bank Arena you get 13,000.
I don't know,
and the crowd was... The crowd.
If we're talking underachieving basketball teams, that Duke crowd is still pretty good.
Oh, they are a little bit. Well, it's only 9,000. It's not 13,000. Let's just talk about that.
I mean, if we're just talking about underachieving programs.
And even Palmer.
You know, that the fans still show up and cheer for Duke this year. Yeah.
It's starting to wane, probably.
I thought they were going undefeated.
It's
going
to wear a little bit on them. But even Palmer had the case to say, they asked about the crowd post-game, and he said it's the loudest he's ever heard it.
You know, I'll tell you what it was. I'll tell you exactly what this was. This game that happened, even though it went to overtime and you had different characters that were playing, obviously, with Johnny Trueblood. I told you, just play him more, we'll be fine. Thor Jorgensen.
Big block.
Different players than what you thought was going to be. But I thought this game was a tease of what could have been and what should have been. And to me, it sums up Tim Miles and his time here rather well. Because look at the game. Who are your top three scorers? The guys that needed a score. Your three guys, for the first time, I think, all season since the first 10 games, so in the last 20 games, for the first time in the last 20, we got all three of the scorers to score.
Yeah, 23, 27, 23. Yes. There's your numbers right there.
Boom. They did it. This is what we thought was hoping would happen. Your big dogs would be big dogs, and then your guys from the bench who maybe aren't as talented would just play their butts off.
And they did.
And they did, and they won a game against a team that's a tournament team. And you thought, all year, this is what it was going to be. This is before the season when we spelled out, here's how it could go right, here's how it could go wrong. Most of the year, we've seen the wrong. But this is what it looked like.
Wow, we saw the right, didn't we?
It was right, because the guys stepped in, and they were serviceable when they needed to be, and I just applaud them.
Yeah.
There was times where Johnny Trueblood was like running around on offense, and I thought he was like, what do I do with my hands? Yeah. I don't know where to go right now.
They're attached to my body, right?
Yeah, and then they'd pass it to him, and he'd like dribble penetrate and back out, and then dribble penetrate. And then Watson's just standing there like, just throw me the ball, dude.
I got you.
Just give me the ball.
Johnny,
just give me the ball.
Johnny, we'll get you home, buddy.
Johnny Trueblood, give
me
the ball.
We'll get you home. What a good moment for him last night after that one bucket, and he gets to steal the inbounds.
He gets it right back to
Roby. His senior moment, right? That's his senior moment.
I just appreciate he knew what to do. He's like, listen, because most people would get that ball and try to flush it themselves. But Johnny Trueblood's like, where's Roby? Get back here, Roby.
I need you.
Here you go. Yeah, no, it was fun, man. I was all about it. Like, I'm happy they finished out that way. I still firmly believe that there will be a coaching change after the season's over. They've been reaching out and talking to people. I still think Fred Hoiberg is the play. I think that's who they're going to try to go get.
Yeah, this doesn't change
If they don't
it.
Get him, then I think it's just because they just weren't able to afford him.
Yeah, this doesn't
change. I don't even know if that's the deal.
Who knows?
He might go to a different – but I know they're looking hard. So.
Yeah, I'm like you. This doesn't change what will happen, what should happen.
I don't think it'll change.
But, again, just go back. Good moments in the game for that deal.
Yep.
And the guy that we talked about a little bit that obviously battled some illness earlier in the year, Amir Harris has a pretty nice little game.
I've been saying
nice.
That all season.
Nice little game. Now, the jumper needs work.
It's broken, but it'll get there.
But getting to the hoop, and playing defense and hustle,
yeah,
he's got it.
I know.
He's got it.
I like him.
Long, athletic.
He is a piece that you can build on in the future, especially because, like you said, he's a long, athletic kid that can play defense.
I mean, plus defender.
Yes, he's a plus defender. And he can get to the bucket, and he finishes around the bucket really nicely. You know, what he lacks in shooting ability, he makes up for in his ability to get to the bucket and finish. He has a nice touch, you know, when he's doing those layups. So, which the good news is because he's good at that, it's going to afford him a little bit of space because people will be playing off of him, and maybe the mid-range jumper will start coming in and that kind of stuff with what happens next year. All right, let's go to the phone lines. So let's go to Gary Jerry, who's been waiting on hold. I hear he's fired up.
Pumped
Gary
up.
Jerry, what's up, dude?
Hey, living the dream, pal.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen, and you too, Hooks.
Good morning. Oh, it's like that now, huh?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, listen, I really loved the game yesterday, but I loved it for a different reason. Does Bo Hannon not rub you the wrong way?
He does.
He's in the Aaron Kraft land for me.
Yeah, boy, he can stroke, though.
Man, but I was really happy. I was happy for the seniors that they went out like that because it's been a rough year. And I was really happy to see them go out like that. You know, those guys, they, especially Watson and Roby, you know, and, you know, and, you know, all the others, you know, but it was fun. It was a fun game to watch. I was going to change it to the watch the golf match, and my wife says, no, let's leave it there. And dang, man, I'm glad I did. Secondly, can I ask you an NFL question?
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Oh, boy.
Hey, did Antonio Brown go to Oakland?
Yes, he did.
Yep.
Okay. Good or not good? I just wonder if, you know, Oakland doesn't have... Man, they seem to always be in disarray.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly will be the best receiver they have, but... Is that going to help Derek Carr, or is it going to hinder?
Well, I tell you what, we will give us about 7 minutes, and we will get to that for you on the show.
Okay,
We'll dive into it
because that was interesting to see him go to Oakland.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to that onion that we can talk about. So, okay. All right, man, I appreciate you. Hey, how about them that baseball team this weekend?
Yeah, you know, they almost got the no-no,
right?
You know, and without the air, that would have been a perfect game. That would have been a great game.
Yep.
But it's good to see the pitching, you know, come around like that. And Erskine talked about that a little bit, about how we're finally healthy a little bit. But what I like about them more than anything is that they're young. Mm-hmm. They have a great third baseman. That guy's got an arm that won't quit.
Yep.
I love it. I mean, it's what you want in a man at the corner like that. So I'm excited. I'm excited to watch. I'm sorry I didn't get to see more baseball down in Texas, but I'll be getting out to the yard a lot. Maybe Hooks, we can hook up and go out there and talk some baseball.
I'm
buddy.
Totally in.
There you go.
Totally in for that.
D3 baseball, he'll talk it all day.
Totally in. That's all I know.
Oh, by the way, my bout with gout is over finally.
Oh, good. Hey,
oh, good for you,
brother.
That sucked, man.
I've had family members that have had it, and I hear it's absolutely miserable. So, good. Happy to hear that for you, man.
All right. We'll see you guys. Take care.
All right, brother. Appreciate it. Good old Gary Jerry. A lot there. We're going to get to the NFL here in about probably 6-7 minutes. I want to kind of talk a little more about this Nebraska basketball win. By the way, congrats to the baseball team, though. Big weekend for them.
Yeah, they get 2 out of 3 at number 21 Baylor. That's a good deal.
That's very good. So keep racking up those wins. I know the boys down at the yard are trying to get that thing set up so we can eventually play some games. No way.
That's what we're hearing, right? They're supposed to play Friday.
It's going to dump rain for the next 3 days. Like, that's nuts. I don't know. We'll see, man. I know my brother-in-law is a great man, and he is good at what he does. We'll add miracle worker to his resume if he can get that field ready. I'll tell you that right
now. Yeah, Friday looks like what? Oh, a little rain for 3 days. 42 for a high on Friday.
2 inches of rain one of those days.
Yeah, 42 for a high. Got a beautiful weekend coming up in the 50s.
Uh-huh.
Ooh.
Might be officially spring here. I don't want to jinx us, but
don't say it.
It's getting there, man.
Don't say it.
We might be able to. I'm rooting for slow pitch softball to get pushed back a week. It's supposed to start on the 14th.
I don't see it
next month. I'm hoping it gets pushed back because that's the spring game weekend. I will be in Washington D.C. for my brother getting married, so I would be missing. I don't want to. We're going to take that power league by storm. You know.
Oh boy.
I don't want to miss that thing.
We're going to look good.
Yes, we will. You're darn right. Real quick on the win for the team and the players and stuff. I think for me personally, like I said earlier, the biggest takeaway is this was a little bit of a tease of what could have been.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the players playing the way they did, especially your three guys scoring. Obviously, you wish your team was healthier so that you had Copeland back. But I don't know. It's one of those things again where I'm super happy the season ended in the manner it did, because I think ultimately if this was it for Tim Miles at the PBA,
it was a good moment.
It was a good moment for him to walk off the floor.
Yep.
I actually don't want them to play. I'm gonna be super real with you. I don't want to see an NIT game there, because if they go out and lose to a team in the NIT, and you got boos and all sorts of. I don't want his tenure here to end that way, because I think, in my opinion, Tim Miles did more positive than negative around the
program.
Do you
think that would even change? Like the fact that I think the way they got sent, you do the Sunday send off like that, the next might not matter as much. Does that make sense? What I'm saying, like they're gonna go to Chicago, get a game there, maybe get an IET. I think people are like satisfied at this point that they got one last chance to see that team. And get
I don't
a
know, dude. I think if they come back for the NIT and say they get a home game, let's say that happens, I think you're going to get a lot of people, like maybe Willie J, who's nervous now and angry that getting in the NIT might keep Miles here. There's a lot of, listen, I'm going to tell you this. There was a lot of people downtown before the game. We're down at gate 25, and I'm sitting there talking to these random Husker fans. And a couple of them said that their whole reason they came was just to see Miles' last game and wish him well on his way out the door, because they were happy that he was going. And there was a couple other ones that said, like, because there was a tweet after the game, and I got some of these tweets by, I want to say it was like Goodwin, I think it was his buddy, said, I think Nebraska's back on the bubble. Come on. And if that, and then I had people tweet me, is this true? Does this mean we're keeping him? And I was like, no, it's not true, and no, it doesn't mean we're keeping Tim.
Yeah, I don't think that was a play for your job game at all.
No.
Not at all.
I'm going to tell you, there's
games like
no,
that was not it.
There are games like that, but it's because something is real that's on the line. Typically, like, though, if, and I always say this, it's a bad idea if a coach's 7-year tenure, if just that Iowa game was a make or break, either he's staying or going, then you're making a mistake by keeping him. You've already made up your mind. Same thing in football. How many times have we watched Iowa, Nebraska beats Iowa at the end of the year and then the football coach get fired? Huh. Right?
Yep.
And I always said every single time, if that game, if you were like hinging everything on that game, you already made your decision. That coach is gone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The only time that there is one of those deals, and I still think these are usually a mistake, is those rare times where you see a coach that's like in the Final Four and can't get over the hump of the Final Four, and it's at a real blue blood, really good program where they're like, all right, man, you've been getting us to the Final Four like every few seasons, but we got to get rid of you. Or like in the NBA where they fire a guy. I could think in the NFL, you could think of coaches. Marty Schottenheimer is like the king of this, where he gets his team as the number one seed and loses the AFC championship game all the time. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid got fired after four consecutive AFC championships.
Yeah, a lot of guys reach their ceiling and can't get to the top. They can't overcome it, but they could do it somewhere else.
Sure.
Do it somewhere else.
To me, it's like outside of that scenario, for the most part, if you're just hinging, all right, well, he's now one game over 500, I guess we're going to keep him. That doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no
sense. You yourself need to be fired if that's the case.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
All right, let's take a really quick break. Of course, you guys can get in 402-466.
I got that sounder.
377. What do you got? Do you have one?
Wow.
Breaking news.
Can you get Will Ferrell from Anchorman?
Okay.
Saying, attention, I've got an important announcement, something, something. He might cuss, edit that out, but that could be it. Okay. With that, you could play that too, and then add Bill Hooks going, row. I want all of those things added into that.
All right.
Does that work?
I'll get it done.
Actually, do that noiser you just made and then hit the row. That might be all we need. Row! That is it. How does that? What do you team vote? There's three of us here. Are we good? I vote yes. All right, it's 3-0.
I'll just go 3-0 because I'll just vote with you guys.
Yeah, you should.
I did. I like it. I'm in.
You're an integral part of this show.
Woo!
Breaking news: Bill Hooks is in. Good.
That's awesome.
That's good. Oh man. Real quick, Palmer as a Husker. We're gonna run down these real fast. Tell me. When you're telling people about Palmer as a Husker, what is your descriptor of him?
Oh man, that is you know what? I'm gonna say for this kid, tough-minded score.
Okay.
Just a tough-minded score. You know, he's a guy that you look at.
Did he live up to the expectations?
I think so for me.
Okay.
Yes. For what Nebraska is and what they've been from that position, absolutely for me. I think he did a really nice job. I think Palmer, of any player out there, was hindered this season by Copeland's injury more than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Just to the base on the spacing.
Yeah, spacing was terrible.
I think Palmer was forced into a spot, one, where you lose Copeland, You bring Borgaard in. You lose the spacing because nobody's guarding Borgaard. They're not like there's no worries about him. And Palmer, God bless him. Like he forced a lot, but I think that was the word he had to do. Like he's a slasher. He tries to get to the rim, and there just wasn't enough spacing for him throughout the year. So I think so. I think Palmer has been he's a nice addition. I think he'll continue. Guys like that will open up more and more lanes for kids to come and see what they can be at Nebraska.
All right, here's a harder question. I think I, for the most part, agree with you. I think expectations were through the roof for him, and I don't think he lived to through the roof expectations, but I think there was a lot that hurt him specifically this year because of the roster. Mm-hmm. If they brought back that roster with Gill and those guys from last year coming off the bench, I think he has a much better season.
Mm-hmm.
More efficient, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
How about Watson?
Yeah, Watson,
I think he's a tough-minded leader that underachieved offensively.
There you go.
I'm right with you right there.
I'm right with you right there.
His consistency was, he just had no consistency.
Yep.
And part of it was, go ahead.
I also think part of the Watson deal was going through the transitions year to year for the type of teams that we had. For me, Watson never got to the point where we knew. Or maybe Watson didn't know what his role was most of the time of his 4 years here at Nebraska.
I agree.
I just don't know if he got to that level of who he was supposed to be for this team as a floor general, or if that was even his role. I think it changed so many times that it was tough to kind of dictate who. But again, I'll go back to the tough-minded leader. I think he was a silent leader of this squad for 4 years.
I think. This is going to sound like I'm kind of crapping on Tim Miles, but I'm not. This is an observation, okay? Mm-hmm. I think Watson is an outstanding player that was the victim of poor development.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just mean from his game, but I think as a leader. You know, there was much to be made in the newspaper, a few weeks ago or a week ago, about this Marine that no longer is, you know, around the team, and he was going to bring out the leaders and all that stuff. To be really honest with you, he's your point guard, right? Mm-hmm. He's a tough-minded kid from Chicago that you could see when he plays that he had an edge to him, and I felt like he never got it brought out. And if you wanna like bring up reasons why, the way Tim treats his young players, where he kind of keeps kid gloves on them, restricts them a little bit from their shooting, that kind of stuff. If you recall a few years ago, you could remember times where there was guys like they, you could tell they were told, don't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need you shooting. Get the ball to these other guys. And I think that he always played like that. I think even when he played, the confidence wasn't
it
there.
It wasn't there.
Even when he had green light go, and like for the last 2 years, we're like, you just shoot, bro. Like, we have specific lineups where you're the guy who's gunning out here. You could see his confidence and stuff waning, and I think that is, I wish Tim could have developed that more in him.
And that's part of when you start looking at the scope of things, not just the X and O's of basketball, there's the psyche of the basketball,
sure.
and what person within that staff can help kids overcome what they're going through. And that's a struggle. So, but I'll tell you what, Watson be one of those guys you look back at that, he'll be one you'll go back and think about what could have been, and that you'll miss a kid like that on your team.
Yeah, I think so. All right, let's take a really quick break. We'll come back and talk some NFL. Antonio Brown to the Raiders. Hey, look, on the surface, it's a really good trade what the Raiders did, and I think there's a lot of positives. We'll talk about that. I got some questions now as to, you know, in terms of the quarterback, how much pressure's on him. What did the Steelers get out of this? Was this a major mistake for the Steelers? I keep hearing that this is a bad deal for the Steelers. I happen to disagree on that thing. And what are the Raiders kind of become now as you look at that AFC West, one of the divisions we play close attention to, with obviously Denver and Kansas City both being in it, two of our local teams. So we'll get to that and more. You listen to Greg and Hooks back after this.